Let's get our Bibles open tonight to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. So we got a little help tonight. It's okay, Rebecca. I'm serious. You just... If she's a cutie, I'm all right. If y'all are all right, it's not a big deal. Listen to the word. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. But I do draw the line. You know, it's... She's a cute little girl. My goodness. Luke chapter 6. This is number 12 in the Healing Examples series. And Luke chapter 6, beginning there in verse number 1, the title of the message tonight is Revelation Over Reason. Revelation over reason. Revelation, or you could say it, instead of reason. And it's important that you understand revelation is to be our goal, that we want revelation from the Lord. We don't just want to reason things out in our hearts or in our thoughts. Amen? I mean, reasoning will get you no place. Now, there is a place in the Word, in the book of Isaiah, that it tells us to, the Lord said, come, let us reason together. But what do you reason on? You reason on the Word. You get into the Word. That's what you do. And if you're going to reason, I mean, God is reasonable. However, he's not going to cut you any slack and say, well, you know, I said that in my Word, but you're the exception. You don't have to do that. It's not the way it works. He'll always take you back to his word. Amen? Now, Luke chapter 6, look at verse number 1. We're going to continue in this ministry regarding on healings. And this is, like I said, number 12 in the series. But this is on the incident with the man with the withered hand that was healed. You remember that. And Luke chapter 6, look at verse 1. It starts off here. It says, and it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first, that he went through the cornfields. He and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was a-hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. Now, the Pharisees had a fit about this particular incident because Jesus and the disciples were going through the fields, and they were hungry, and so they grabbed an ear. Just seeing if you were listening. That's all. You wise guys. Yeah, I know. A corn of ear. I've heard of a cornucopia. Oh, boy. Okay, ear of corn. They grabbed ears of corn. Looks kind of like that. Grabbed an ear of corn and knocked the kernels off and began to eat it. And the Pharisees, following after them, just looking for a reason to catch Jesus, they were always doing that, said, that's not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Why do you have them do this on the Sabbath? Why do you allow it? This is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days. And so I just want to stop here for a second, because in these different accounts of healing that we've looked at, there are a lot of other side issues that we've addressed. It's important that you understand that we look at the healing and that it's God's will to heal, and we get that, right? You understand that? Sure. But there are always side issues that feed into the account. And this particular account here of this legalism that these guys were caught up in, because a little later on down here at chapter 6, he heals this man with the withered hand, and you see that. But leading up to it, the Pharisees attack him regarding what's lawful. And so Jesus says to them, you know, have you not read? These were supposedly the experts in the law. They were the ones who knew the law inside and out, frontward and backward. But what they didn't realize is they were talking to the Word made flesh when they made their comments here. Now, but I want you to see something. They were being very judgmental over Jesus and over the disciples. Can you say amen? You and I have to be very careful not to judge others. The Pharisees were not careful to not judge others. They judged others all the time. It's what they did, okay? So you and I have to be careful not to do that, because we don't know in particular what is really in that person's heart, what they're doing. You know, you look at somebody do something and you go, oh my, if I were in their shoes, I'd never do that. Well, really, you're not in their shoes. That's part of the whole problem, is we assume that if we were in the situation they're in, we would do this, this, and this. And that is normally not the case. You ever hear of an armchair quarterback? A backseat driver, right? Do this. Why doesn't he get rid of the ball quicker? Because he's got a 300-pound guy that can run faster than he can chasing him. And now he's, and have you ever, I'm looking at you ladies, you ever play football? When you're out there, and David, I know you were a quarterback. Larry, I know you played basketball. But on the football field, I don't know if you played football or not, but you probably did at some point, of course. Marvin, the rest of you guys can't. Chris, yeah. So I know when I was out there, when guys stand up, I was a running back. And when I would have to look for the hole that I'm supposed to hit, and when they come up out of their block and begin to back up, or it's maybe it's a pass play, and there were some pass plays designed for me to run out and catch a pass. And I remember, everything gets real. It blocks your view. Your view gets blocked. Now, the difference between high school football and college football is great, because only the better ones make it into college, right? College to pros, a whole nother level. Everybody in the pros is fast, even the big fat guys. You see these big fat guys that can run a running back down. I mean, crying out loud, the guy is 325 pounds and he's chasing this guy down. And once he catches him, he's going to squash him. Amen? And when you're out on the field, whether it's at this level, that level, or the pro level, it gets very busy and very hectic and it's very quick. And you have to make decisions quickly, or it doesn't work. And so there's the guy sitting on his couch, 75 pounds overweight, played football back in the whenever. And he's telling this guy what he ought to be doing. He has no concept, no idea of the pressure this guy's under and how much faster the athletes are these days than they were years ago even. I mean, there were always fast guys, but nowadays a lot of them are fast, and it's a whole different thing. It's easy to make calls from the couch. It's easy to say, I would have done this if I were in that position. That's a whole another area of subject. In fact, I'm going to address it a little bit later in this message. But you and I have to be careful not to judge others. We also need to acknowledge that we don't know what was in the person's heart. Okay? Did they know what was in Jesus' heart here? And the disciples, they're judging what they did. On top of that, see, do we know everything that the scriptures say? Well, judging is never a good thing. Judging others will stop your healing. Do you hear me? They were judging. It's not a good thing. On the surface was what Jesus brought up to them regarding David and the others when they went into the temple area and ate of the showbread. I mean, that was, you know, something that could be misconstrued or could be looked at as unlawful, right? They did it on the Sabbath day. So Jesus brings it up. David was not a priest, was he? No, he wasn't. So you remember that in that and surrounding that incident of David going in with his men and eating the corn, you remember? That high priest who allowed it to happen and actually showed some kindness to David and to his men. You remember David asked and said, do you guys have any weapons here? You remember that? You can go back and read the account in the Word. do you have any weapons? He gave him the food and stuff. And do you have any weapons? And he said, well, all we have, you'll remember this, all we have is Goliath's sword. Remember that? That's there. Do you know when Saul's men and Saul and his men approached and came upon that high priest, they ended up killing him because he helped David? That's in the word. And that's some serious stuff. But that incident was recorded so that it could be understood that you must not just go by the letter of the law. You must learn to go and make contact with the spirit behind the law. The spirit of the law and the letter of the law. What does the Bible say? That the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. That's in what? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think, verse 6. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. There are so many legalistic people today. There were legalistic people back here. Legalism will stop your healing. Legalism will keep you from ever receiving from the Spirit of God. So in God's eyes, obviously, David did nothing wrong when they ate, because here's God in the flesh telling the disciples it's okay if you guys eat. The Pharisees are like, you can't do that. It's unlawful. Unlawful. So Jesus immediately quotes some word to them, and they don't receive it. But it's very, very important for you and I not to judge by outward appearance. And that's the point I want to make here. They were looking at the outward appearance of Jesus and the disciples eating corn on the Sabbath day, plucking it and eating it out in the fields. They were, it was being viewed as unlawful. And they were judging by outward circumstances. And really our outward appearance. The thing that you can grab from that is it's you don't know a person's heart. And to God, to the Lord, he always looks at the heart. People look after the outward appearance. You remember me doing that sermon that time years ago when I had a suit on? I didn't even tell Ann. I wore a suit on a Wednesday night, tie, uptight, jacket, and it was down at the old building. And all of a sudden, I took my jacket off, and I started undoing my tie. I took the tie off, started undoing my shirt. Took my shirt off. That it was like I undid my belt, pulled my pants down, and underneath. Now, just hold on. Underneath, I had on a ripped-up pair of old jeans that the knees were all ripped out. I guess they'd be cool today. You know what I'm saying? But they were all ripped. Actually, those were really comfortable jeans. But anyway, the knees were ripped in them. They looked pretty shabby. The T-shirt had holes in it and stains on it. It was one I didn't even wear to work in. I just had it as a rag, and I pulled it out and put it on. And what it was showing was that on the outside, you can look real nice, but underneath is what? What's underneath? See, God's looking at the heart. There are people that look really good. Oh, yes, amen. And underneath, what did Jesus say about that? He said, you're like whitewashed sepulchres, speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, saying, you're like these whitewashed tombs. You look good from the outside, but inside are dead men's bones, right? Oh, yeah. Who knows a person's heart except the Lord? The Lord knows your heart. He does. And praise God, he goes by what's in your heart. So we need to be very careful that we don't judge people, because the bottom line is you don't really know their heart. All you're looking at is the action, and actions can be deceiving. Well, amen anyway. Right? Sure. How well do you know the scriptures? Let's just put that out there. How well do you know the scriptures? The minute you think you know them so well that you now can turn into a judge of other people, you automatically become a hypocrite. And I'll show you that in a word, too. It's like, oh, good news, Pastor Dan. Good news. Yeah. Well, if that's what you want to do, then just know what the consequences are. Okay? See, the Pharisees here, they're wanting to talk law with Jesus, and Jesus brings up some verses that they apparently didn't see. They were doctors of the law. They were the experts. But obviously, they didn't see that the scripture showed that David and his men did the very same thing. Called precedent. brothers and sisters. Precedent, you know. And it's when somebody wants to be judgmental about something, they'll overlook precedent even though they know it exists. All you got to do is take a little short look at the political scene today, and you'll see all sorts of stuff that people are doing on one side of the aisle that they condemned when the other side of the aisle did it. It happens on both sides. Don't think it doesn't. But precedent is there. You can try to ignore precedent, but it doesn't make precedent go away. Amen. Now, if these Pharisees actually respected the law like they claim to, they would have reacted differently when Jesus gave them the scripture that exposed their error. Because they were in error. They were judging and they didn't even realize. That's why Jesus said to them, "Have ye not read so much as this?" And then gives them the example of David doing the very same thing. And it should have clarified it for him. It should have been, "Oh, well, you know what? We didn't see that." That would have been the humble approach. But the attitude was, "We're the experts. Who do you think you are?" Okay? Now, there is a difference. And what you see here is you see light being given to the Pharisees, but the Pharisees were legalistic. So you have legalism on one side and you have light coming on the other side. Or you could put it this way, as I titled the message, you have reasoning on one side and revelation on the other. Reasoning is of the flesh. It is of the intellect. Revelation is always of the spirit. Do you hear me? When you have revelation, oh my, the Lord can get things done in your life through you and to you. And you and I have to be able to discern or decipher the difference between reasoning and revelation, and sad to say, a lot of Christians don't know the difference. Is it reasoning? Is it just me, or is that actually revelation from the Lord? Now, pick it up here in verse number 5. So Jesus said at the end of verse 4, "Which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone." Okay, he was talking about the bread. Verse 5, "And he said unto them, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him." This is their life. All they do is walk around and follow him and watch him to see if they can accuse him of something. You know, wouldn't that get old? People following you around all the time and just looking to see when you make a mistake. Let me say this to you. As a Christian, people are watching you. You realize that. The minute you make a statement that you're a Christian, that you're living or walking with the Lord and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the world takes note to that. In fact, a lot of other Christians will take note to see if you're actually doing what you say that you believe. Now, it doesn't give us I'm just human and I can't help myself. No, hold it a minute. You know, you can help yourself by getting into the Word. All right, that's step one. Fellowshipping with people of like precious faith is a big deal. And so it's very, very important. But he said, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might find an accusation against him. Verse 8, but he knew their thoughts. I love that. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Now, it's interesting how experts will, and these guys, you got to back up a little bit here, but these Pharisees, they were experts on the law. And it's amazing how people can come along, they're experts, you know, they know, and they're going to tell you why you can't do what, in fact, he had already done. But they're trying to tell him he can't heal, and he can't heal on the Sabbath day. And you're doing things that are unscriptural, is literally what they were trying to tell Jesus, that he was wrong. You're wrong to let the disciples do this and you yourself as well. But these were these experts. Now, I want you to hold your place here. Actually, we're going to leave this account. We'll go to an account in Mark chapter 2 in a moment. But I want you to turn over to James chapter 4. And again, some of these peripheral things that happened surrounding the event of this man getting healed that had the withered hand, you have to look at these accounts. Because when these accounts are written in the Word for us, there's always things that pertain to the end result. In this case, Jesus was dealing with some people who were very, very legalistic and very judgmental. Look at James 4. Look at verse number 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Do you see that? This in itself right here will prevent you from judging other people. When you humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, he'll lift you up. Humility is very, very important for us as Christians. And a big part of humility is honesty, if you really want to know the truth of it. A big part of humility is honesty. You need to be genuine. You need to be real. You need to be honest about what you don't know. Do you hear me? You need to be honest about your own mistakes. Well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but you have sinned in your life. Well, I don't want to major on the sin. I didn't say major on it. But what you don't want to do is start looking down your nose at somebody who has fallen into sin. Let you, okay, brethren, if, it, what does it say in the Word? It says, if a brother or sister be taken in a fault, you which are spiritual, right? Restore that one in meekness. Literally, it's saying because you could end up falling into the same thing. Spiritual people don't look down their nose at somebody that has some kind of a failure. Now, what I mean by that is you don't condone the sin. You don't say, it's okay that you're cheating on your wife. It's okay that you're doing this. It's okay that you're doing that. It's okay that you live like this. No, you don't. You're not saying that. You don't condone it because that is sin. But what you can say is, look, understand that there's an answer to you rising above this. I can identify because I'm not perfect either. And I'll tell you what, we need to just be real Christians, real people who understand we're all in a battle. Everybody has a flesh. Everybody has to fight the devil the same way. I don't care who you are. You put your pants on one leg at a time. Amen? I don't get up in the morning and lay down on the bed and my pants float in the air and shoom, right on my legs. And I'm just set to go. You know, nobody's anointed to live the Word. You live the Word by choice. No, but hear me. In fact, write that down. You need to remember this. This will help you not judge people that preach the Word of God. Nobody is anointed to live the Word. He's anointed. I'm not going to tell you I'm not anointed to teach the Word and do what I do, because I know that there is an anointing to preach the Word that's on me. But I have to live it by choice just like you do. When I go home, I can choose to snap at my wife or I can choose to be nice. I can choose to lay my Bible down until Saturday when I prepare the sermon. Or I can pick it up every day in between. You know, so I have a choice. I have a choice to take authority over thoughts that run contrary to the Word of God or to go with them. I have a choice just like you do. Nobody is anointed to do the Word. Nobody gets a free pass. Oh, he's specially anointed. Jesus had to choose. Life and death are put up right in front of us, and we're supposed to choose life. Make the choice. It's just people go, I just can't make the right choices. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. See, if you keep feeding your flesh will keep getting stronger. But if you starve your flesh, guess what happens to the flesh? It'll get weaker. You want to kill something off in your life? Somebody said, well, I have this thing I need to deal with. Well, you starve it. Starve it. Now, God forbid that you ought to starve an animal. That's against the law, and it's certainly inhumane and ungodly, and that's devilish, people that do that stuff. Or starve a child or something. That's horrific. But a basic understanding of if you don't eat, you die, should be in our thoughts, right? So if you really want to get something out of your life, you need to starve it off. Need to starve it off. How do I starve it off? It keeps screaming for me to eat it. It's kind of like the guy that wants to lose some weight, but he keeps going down to the donut shop all the time. Well, step number one, stay away from the donut shop. You want to lose some weight? Quit eating the fattening stuff. It's amazing. You know, I mean, all I'd have to do is look at myself. And I'm not skinny mini, but I was 195 pounds a couple of years ago. 3 years ago, maybe? When was it? 16? Somewhere in there. I was 195 pounds. One day I got on scale. I'm like, where is it? When you look down the scale and you can't see the numbers, because you got this, you know what I'm saying? It's like, all I see is a shirt. Now I can't talk, you know. You know. And I was 195 pounds, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And it's like, that's enough. I said, that is enough. And once you make a choice, you go, you don't go back on it. You make a choice, and now I'm, somebody's saying, well, how much are you now? Well, I was 165.9 this morning, okay? If that pleases you to know that, fine. Whatever. 165, yeah, whatever. But the fact is, I feel good, but you make a choice. You make a choice, okay? And if you're willing to stick to your choice, you'll bear the fruit of that choice. If I had stuck to the choice of eating everything I could see that I was doing before and thinking I can run it off, you know, I can run it off. I'm okay. I can work it off. And all I was doing was putting it in. And I was too fat to run. I'd still run, you know, but I was like, well, like a steam engine. So you make a choice and you stick with it. And don't be surprised if you keep eating the fattening stuff. And I would do some study on what's fattening. A lot of people go, oh, I didn't know that was fattening. Well, why don't you find out? You know. Okay. Whatever. I'm preaching to the choir, I guess. Amen. So look at verse 10 again. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he'll lift you up. Okay? Now, verse 11 is an interesting verse. It says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Do you see that? Were the Pharisees speaking evil of Jesus? Were the Pharisees trying to trap him and corner him and accuse him and his disciples? Sure they were. So they that thought that they were so knowledgeable about the law and knew the law inside and out were actually judging the law, and that's not a good position to be placed in. It immediately made them out to be the hypocrites that they were. The Greek word used for hypocrite is hypokrates, and it means to hide behind a mask. Put a mask up. You can look like anything if you put the mask of whatever it is you want to look like up in front of you. You remember the smiling face, and behind they pull it on, the guy's, and he's not smiling. You know, he can be sad, laughing on the outside, hurting on the inside, that kind of thing. Well, a hypocrite puts up a front, puts up a appearance, a facade, you know. So anybody who judges literally becomes a hypocrite. Why? I want to show it to you in Romans chapter 2. Just go on back to Romans 2 quickly. Romans 2, we're almost done here. Romans 2, verse number 1, therefore thou art inexcusable. You see this? It starts off real good. You are inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. The one who judges is guilty of the same thing that they're condemning that person over, is what that just said. You're judging that one because I would never do that. Yeah, well, now you just became guilty of what they did. You just took on the same thing. You now are guilty of what they just did. Oh, if I was in that position, I would never commit adultery. I'm not excusing adultery, trust me. But there are people that condemn folks, and that's a sin. And it needs to be repented of, and they need to repent. They need to spend some time. If a minister does something like that, out of the pulpit for at least 2 years, at least. I say at least. Probably 5 years would be better. And really get some things straight, because there have been a lot of accounts of ministers, men and women alike, committing adultery and thinking it's, you know, the Lord's involved in this. No, he's not. He didn't tell you to leave your wife and go and sleep with that woman over there, or leave your husband and go sleep with that man over there. No, 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 no. And so people want to patty cake sin and say, oh, that's, you know, but she's so spiritual. She was pretty stinking carnal when she hopped in the sack with that man that wasn't her husband. Excuse me for saying it that way. Don't look at me that way. You know what I'm saying is true. Or vice versa, the man that does that on his wife. Some bad stuff. But the fact is, you know, when a person judges somebody of doing something, you're guilty of the same thing if you're judging somebody. I'll just say, what does the word say about that? Adultery's wrong. Adultery's a sin. I'll let the word be the judge, right? Amen. Let the word be the judge. Have you ever missed it? Let me ask you that. Oh, I never committed adultery. Well, praise God you didn't. Neither have I. But praise God. But have you ever missed it? So why would you come down on somebody that missed it, acting like you would never miss it, or even could miss it? It's a little self-righteous, isn't it? This will stop your healing. All we're after tonight is to reveal things that can stop the healing. These Pharisees in this account, in Mark 2 and Luke 6, same account, were guilty of that. They were guilty of that. My. If you're judging, guess what? You're not a doer of the law if you're judging. You're not a doer of the law. Didn't we just see that back here in the book of Hebrews? Excuse me, that was in James, was it not? Where was I at? James 4, not Hebrews. James 4, I'll read it to you again. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law. So if you're into judging other people, you're not a doer, but a judge. Whew. Now, let me say this. It's real easy to sit back and point the finger at people. But I will say this, you need a revelation that that's wrong. You need a revelation, and you don't get revelation. Let me say this to you, and I want you to hear it. Hear me carefully. Everybody look up here. You don't get revelation through study. Whoa, wait a minute, Pastor Dan. You've told us to study the word, and you need to study the word. Revelation, you're not going to get it through study. How's it come? Revelation comes. You'll get information through study. There's absolutely no doubt. You need to renew your mind by studying the word. Do you hear me? Yeah. But the revelation on the word comes after you begin to do those things that you're studying about. How about this? You know, years ago, Pastor John, well, let me start with me. I took the ground school. My dad and I took ground school to become pilots. Okay? Took the ground school. You go through the course, and they stretched it out over, I don't know what it was, probably 6 weeks or something like that. You'd go, and you'd have an hour and a half or 2 hours once a week. And so it was like 10 or 12 hours, something like that, that we did. And we took the test, and I passed the ground school. Okay. Great. Great. Never got into a cockpit. Never flew a plane, but I passed the ground school. Guess what? You learn how to calculate things. You learn how to use a flight computer to estimate drift and how you figure for if you're going from point A to point B and there's a 40-mile-an-hour wind or whatever it is, how you set your heading, how you crab the aircraft into the wind to offset the wind. You know, because if you're going from here to there and there's a real heavy wind and I set out this way, that wind's going to blow me over there, isn't it? Right? You know what I'm saying? Throw a paper airplane up in the sky and the wind's blowing this way, it'll go that way. Well, you learn all that stuff. You learn what that gauge means and where it's supposed to be. And you learn this and you learn that. And you learn that at X number of wherever your altimeter is of what you do at that altitude, and you don't let it get below this or what have you. And if you're at this airspeed, you don't open the flaps or you will tear the wings off. That kind of thing. It's kind of a good one to know, actually, you know. But it's one thing to sit in a classroom and get it in a book and see the video or, you know, pictures and discussion. And it's a whole other thing to get into the plane, right? Now, Pastor John bypassed ground school and got into the plane and went out and started taking lessons and was about to solo and ran out of money, and that was the end of that. Actually, we had an offer, he and I both, probably 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. A man came up to us that we know, and he said, I want to pay for you to get your private pilot's license, both of you. It'd be about $5,000 apiece. You want to pay for it. I was like, well, let me talk to my wife about it. I talked to her for about 1 second and said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Just give me the $5,000. You know what I'm saying? Didn't happen. But he wanted to pay for all that so we could get our private pilot's license. And neither one of us felt compelled to do it, which is fine, you know. But it's one thing to sit in ground school. And I think there's a lot of Christians who have been sitting in ground school for 30 years. It's a whole other thing to get into the plane or start doing what you've been hearing. The minute you get into the plane, any pilot can tell you this, you start the motor, you get the thing going, and I've talked to pilots, I know people that are pilots, and, you know, that sound of that engine and that feeling that I just felt, they didn't tell me about that in a book. That sudden loss of, altitude when you hit an air pocket, they didn't. How do you react to that? Johnny said the first time that the instructor threw it into a stall, his first reaction, and Pastor John, I'm talking, when I talk Johnny, he's my brother, you know that, but you call him Pastor John, but I call him Johnny anyway, but he is Pastor John. He said the first time that the pilot, the instructor, threw the plane into a stall, and it's not cutting the engine off, it's stopping the wing from flying is a stall. When you get the nose too high, and the air doesn't cycle across the wings properly, you exceed a certain level, and the plane stops flying. Even though the motor's turning, the prop is turning, props, whatever the case may be, and the plane will do this, and it'll drop. And he said it's like the stall horn went off when you get, Marvin, I know, has Mike ever taken you out and had you done stalls with you in the plane? No? Well, if he did, you'd know it, I'm sure. But John said, we're going along real well. All of a sudden, he points the nose up like this, the instructor did, and it keeps getting higher and higher, and that horn's going, bee! All of a sudden, boom, the bottom drops out. And you down, and now you're heading toward the earth. And Jai said his first reaction was to hit the brakes. He's like, no, the first thing you do is level the wings. Okay, you got to level the wings because, you got to level the wings. Get your wings level. You didn't even catch that. Now we're a little further in the sermon. You're half asleep. You got to get your wings level, and then I guess you add power and there's things. But anyway, you don't try to pull out too quick or you could, you get in real trouble doing that. But the fact is, you learn stuff sitting, listening to it, and it's a whole other deal when you're out there doing it. Okay? And it's fine to have the knowledge, It's like, I mean, when you were taking driver's ed and you sat there and read the book and it said turn this, you know, when you get to a light, you look and you just, and it's a whole different thing when you get out there on the road and now suddenly you're in control of a vehicle and you have, you know, you're doing it. It's different. And it's this way where the word is concerned. A lot of people have criticized others, and it's simply based on their perfect theory of what should be done. You know, the old, this is what the book says. Here's what I would do if I were in your shoes. You don't know because you're not in my shoes. And until you've walked there, you'll never know. I'll tell you where humility suddenly starts to come. When a person does something and goes through some hardships that they saw others do and go through, and they realized it wasn't so easy to get through those hardships. Now that is very, very necessary for us as believers to recognize we don't want to become critical. We don't want to be critical at people. Can I hear an amen? Be a doer, don't be a judge. Be a doer, don't be a judge. And I wrote this down. Your eyes are opened when you experienced whatever it is that you've been. Your eyes are opened when you've experienced whatever it is that you've been talking about. In other words, you're talking about this, and now I could talk to you about ground school, but once I were to get into a plane and experience, it would be a whole nother level. Pastor John can tell you things about flying that I can't, because I'm not a pilot and I've never flown a plane. But I took the ground school, I can tell you that much. And I'm still grounded. Amen. Well, this whole thing that I want you to also address in this particular instance. How is it that David did what David did in that account in Luke 6 and in Mark, it's also in Mark 2. How did David do what he did with his disciples eating the corn on the Sabbath and not break the law? Think about that for a second. How was David able to do that and not break the law? The answer is very simple. God looks at the heart. His heart was right before God. People look at the outward appearance of things. Please learn to tune in. Revelation is of the spirit. Reason is of the intellect and the senses. I'll tell you, you can get in trouble walking in reason. You'll come up with all sorts of ideas that aren't right. Stand to your feet, will you please? Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus went on and healed this man with the withered hand, but all this was surrounding it, and the attitude of the Pharisees that was trying to stop Jesus from healing, like they were so profound in their having their healing services, right? They were seeing people healed left and right, and they're telling Jesus, you can't do it on this day. It's so typical of a judgmental individual. All right, let's not be that. Amen? Praise God. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Father, we thank you and praise you for the word tonight. And we give you glory that your word is alive in us. And Father, we will be those that will look at the word and we'll see how situations in our lives are affected by things that we look at in the word, and we can gain revelation on how to deal with things based on your word. So I bless you this night, and I give you glory this night in the name of Jesus for all the good things that you're doing in us and through us and to us. And sir, we just choose to be doers of the word and not judges. Not judges. We'll not just sit in ground school the rest of our life and never do what we're supposed to be doing. It's not good enough just to sit and hear it. You got to do it. That's why the Bible says to be a doer of the word and not just a ground school student only. Amen? It says to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Do it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you for that. Well, I hope you got something out of that tonight. It's kind of another look at this incident of what's going on here and how the attitude that you and I possess can affect whether or not we're going to receive a healing or be used of God to pray for somebody to receive healing. It's very, very important. Very important.